Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
By the way, our feedback email address is ccrecap@gmail.com, ccrecap@gmail.com. Send us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Well, KKK rallies are still happening in the U.S. While they may not be happening in Michigan, my next guest says they are in North Carolina and Florida, and he's been actively working to stand up against the group. David LaMotte is a musician and the author of the acclaimed new book, White Flower, which is based on real-life events in Knoxville, Tennessee, in May of 2007 during a white supremacist rally. He joins me now to tell me how this group continues to function. David, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Well, it's really a pleasure, Michael. I appreciate your hospitality.
Now, you're from North Carolina yourself?
I am. I've been living in North Carolina a little over the over 20 years. I've always lived in the Southeast, and so I call North Carolina home.
So tell me, what kind of presence does the KKK now have in your area?
Well, I don't want to exaggerate this. It's not that it's something that we encounter all the time, but there was a rally just this past Saturday in a little town called Harmony, North Carolina, ironically. And it made a lot of headlines in the state and was quite disturbing. And it was ironic that it was on the five-year anniversary of the event in Knoxville that inspired the book I just put out.
I see. Well, tell me about that event, if you could, in a brief way.
Sure. The book is an illustrated book. It targets middle schoolers. It's not actually a detailed academic book for adults. It's a story with pictures. But it is based on this event in Knoxville where the Klan had a rally and the protesters decided to respond creatively. And so rather than meeting hatred with hatred, they went to the rally quite prepared with lots of props. And when the Klan started shouting white power, the clowns, as they were dressed, all of the protesters were dressed as clowns. They listened quite carefully, like they couldn't understand what the Klan was saying. And then they responded saying, yeah, this is a wonderful reason for a rally. They're having a rally for white flour. And they pulled out bags of flour and started having a flour fight. Hmm. And they continued to improvise for some time with comical street theater routines and such.
Well, how did the KKK folks respond to that?
Well, mostly, I think, with bafflement. You know, they expect folks to either be intimidated and run away or to respond with anger. And it's one of the principles of nonviolence that if you can flip the script a little bit, if you can respond unpredictably, then that can have the potential to transform the space. And
well, they must have felt as though they were being mocked, though, of course, right?
Well, yeah, one guy, the only incident of violence in the day, one of the Klansmen rushed at the clowns and was arrested looking for a fight. But in general, they were just kind of baffled and they gave up. And I think it's important when you talk about mocking, you know, I think unquestionably the clowns were mocking some silly ideas. But it's interesting, you know, when you look at the things that they were chanting and the things that they prepared, they were pretty careful not to mock the people themselves, but not to take the ideas seriously.
I'm talking to David LaMotte, a musician, the author of the acclaimed new book, White Flower. So, David, some would say that racial hatred is something that some people will always gravitate towards. What's your view? Do you think that it will always be part of the American landscape?
Well, yes, I do, and I think it's actually part of the, racism to some degree, in terms of assuming some things naturally, subconsciously about each other, is endemic for all of us, I think. It's a lifelong process that we try to moderate as we keep going on, but this kind of overt, hateful, organized oppression is still happening, and I wouldn't actually say that that's the greatest problem we face as a nation, but it is a problem.
Have you been face to face with some of these KKK members, and what do they look like? What do they say to you?
Well, I have not. I was not at the rally that happened in Knoxville. I read an article about it 3 weeks later, and I was deeply inspired by it, so I wrote a poem about it. The poem became the book. Since then, I have researched it pretty heavily. I talked to a lot of people who were there that day. But it's notable that in the book, it's a book for fifth graders, and so we've taken some liberties with the story. But the inside back cover lays out what actually happened that day so that you can distinguish, so that I'm not presenting anything that isn't factual.
Now, but, you say the book's directed towards fifth graders, but isn't... isn't hatred, especially racial hatred and hatred of people, large groups of people, isn't that usually instilled at a far younger age?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think it's the kind of thing that can turn. It can be instilled certainly when you're very young. But I think, you know, being challenged on that, it's still a pretty malleable age at fifth grade. And I'm actually not quite ready to take a story about such overt hatred and threatened violence to very small children. It's why we targeted the book with the way we did. I think it's accessible to smaller kids if parents decide that that's appropriate. But I wouldn't champion that. I think it's up to the parents to decide when their kids are ready to have that kind of conversation.
We have a society that is now obviously moving towards being more enlightened when it comes to racial issues, racial relationships. What is it you think that keeps some people stuck in that in this kind of hateful mindset?
Well, I think there's fear, certainly, you know, and fear of change, and fear, you know, people who are struggling themselves in various ways, it's natural to look for somebody to blame, and I think it's important to, you know, you don't generally convince people by screaming at them, and so I think it's important to be compassionate, even with these folks who are being hateful, but in a situation like this, when something is happening, as happened in the book, it really needs to be stood up against. It needs to be resisted actively. I really congratulate the clowns, the protesters there. They call themselves the Coup, C-O-U-P, Klutz Clowns. The CCC took on the KKK that day. And I congratulate them on moving beyond fight and flight and finding a third way. Because fight and flight are seldom our best two options, though they're the most natural two options.
I see. Well, humor, you're saying, is sometimes more effective and sometimes really the only reasonable way to go head-to-head with direct hate.
It was useful that day. Yeah, I wouldn't put this forward as a recipe. You know, I wouldn't say that dressing up as clowns is always the way to respond to aggression. But I would say that creativity is always the way to respond to aggression. Something, thinking a little bit beyond our societal mythology about, you know, solving problems by good guys beating up bad guys, which is the plot of, you know, 8 out of 10 of the movies at the theater these days.
David Lamotte, the author of the new book, White Flower. David, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Certainly a pleasure. Thanks for your hospitality.
We will be right back to wrap things up. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.